is kept with thanksgiving in my heart. How we enter his court with praise. I will say, this is the day that Yeshua has made. I will rejoice, for he has gladdened my heart. I will enter.
I will enter his gate with thanksgiving in my heart.
All I have come to do is
I will
have
come enter to enter his court.
Every day your court we praise. I will sing
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You are our Redeemer and you are alive. Blessed be your holy name forever. We give you praise, Creator. We give you praise, Creator. We give you praise. Thank you that you have loved us with an everlasting love, and your grace sufficient is turning things around for us. Blessed be your holy name forever, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. This evening, I want to continue on our discuss about the blessing. The blessing. Somebody say the blessing. Amen. As we go through this subject, we'll begin to unveil what the blessing is and understand that the blessing is beyond things. The blessing is a declaration from God. The blessing is the person of Christ who blesses us, and the blessing ultimately becomes us. Hallelujah. Now that's an interesting aspect, because many times we don't see the continuity of that blessing being me. I am the blessing because of what Jesus Christ has done. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, to get started this evening, as I continue on this subject, I'd like to read to you a true story. A very true story. Queen Elizabeth II, who passed away at Balmoral Castle in Scotland on Thursday, is remembered by the British public as an unwavering, steadfast monarch who led the kingdom through turbulent times over the past 70 years. But a story recounted by a former bodyguard revealed a humorous side of the monarch that she rarely showed the public. Richard Griffin, also known as Dick, served as the Queen's Royal Protection Officer. He recounted the story to Sky News during Elizabeth's Platinum Jubilee last June. Griffin once accompanied the Queen when she was walking in hills outside of Balmoral when two American tourists on vacation reportedly approached her. One hiker, not aware who he was speaking to, asked the Queen where she lived. She replied that she lived in London and said that she had a holiday home nearby, but did not specify that she was referring to Balmoral. The hiker then asked her if she ever met the Queen. "I haven't, but Dick here meets her regularly," Elizabeth reportedly said. The hiker immediately turned his attention to the bodyguard and asked him what the monarch was like in person. I was with her a long time and I knew I could pull her leg," Griffin said. She can be very cantankerous at times, but she's got a lovely sense of humor." Overjoyed, the hiker unwittingly asked the Queen if she could take his picture with Griffin. Before I could see what was happening, he gets his camera and gives it to the Queen and says, "Can you take a picture of us?" Griffin recounted. Elizabeth took a picture of the two before Griffin took the camera and photographed the queen with the unknown tourist. I love to be a fly on the wall. When he shows those photographs to friends in America, and hopefully someone tells him who I am, the queen allegedly told Griffin. Now, why do I read that story to you? There are two issues. One, most of the times we don't know who we are. And two, we don't know who we are with. Don't know who you are, you don't know who you're with. Christians are in church, but many times don't know why they're in church. Clueless. Let me give you an example. You can come to church, and your primary reason to be in church is so that you can meet your friends. And so you focus your attention in talking with your friends and forget that the real reason you came is to worship him. So you joke around, you play around, and you don't focus. Get your mind to be focused to say, I'm in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the God who knows me. This is not playtime now. This is time to focus. After now, I can play all I want, but right now, I'm going to be quiet in my spirit, hear the voice of God, worship him in spirit and in truth, be transformed so that I can be a blessing to the people I want to joke around with. But right now, I'm going to draw from the water of life. Right now, I'm going to draw from the Spirit of God. Right now, I'm going to focus my attention and experience the elevation that comes from God. Right now, I'm about Him. Jesus said, I'm about my Father's business. You guys want to go home? You can go home. But right now, I'm going to stay here. I want the Word. I want the God life. I want this word to impact me. If the Lord Jesus Christ was so interested in the word of God, might it be possible that he really wants me to be interested in his word? If he was interested in seeking the face of the Father, is it possible that he wants me to seek the face of the Father? Interesting. About two decades ago, there was this slogan that was all over the place, what will Jesus do? Everywhere went about with tags and cups and all kinds of stuff. What will Jesus do? I think it's a relevant question. What will Jesus do? What will Jesus say? How will Jesus deal with this situation? You know, he said, when they told him, your mother and your brothers, they're looking for you. They're outside there at the door over there. Won't talk to you. He said, I'll tell you what. My mother, my brethren, and these ones here who are listening to the word of God. Not those. Interesting. Was he denying that Mary was the mother? No, that's not the point. The point is, he was trying to make a point. The point being, those that seek after his word, those that come early to receive his word, those that desire him with all of their hearts, who are willing to do his will, that's his family. That's his family. The question then I must ask myself is, am I family? Am I family? Do I know who I am and what family I belong to? When you don't know what family you belong to, you act crazy. I don't need to drag anybody through the mud. That's not my intent. We had two princes born by the same mother. Tragedy hit their family. One prince continues to stay steadfast. The other one allows bitterness to corrupt his heart. And when he allowed bitterness to corrupt his heart, he separated himself from his royalty and his responsibilities and clave to somebody else. Rejected everything that he was being raised to be, forgetting who he was, and to forgetting who he was with. I wonder if we do the same thing. Forget that we belong to a Father who's loved us, that we have a Redeemer who lives, and we cleave to the world and the ways of the world and want the benefits of the world. We want Hollywood, not the imperial family. We can point our fingers at people and say, look at what that person is doing. Look at what that person is doing. The question is, what are you doing? Do you see yourself in that picture? What part of the picture do you see yourself in? Are you allowing bitterness to separate you from who you are, separate you from the blessing? You know, what you give yourself to today that is not the authentic you because of bitterness, the same practice and the same pattern of separation will ultimately separate you from that which you are attaching yourself to now. God wants us to be separated unto him. And God said to Abraham, or Abram, I want you to leave that. I want you to come to a place I'm going to show you. I'm going to bless you and make you a blessing. I'm going to give you a great name, an influential name. And in you shall all the nations, all the earth, be blessed. It's a promise God made to Abraham, who was then Abram. Spoke those words into his spirit. Now, that same promise, that blessing, because that was the blessing, was the same blessing that was passed from generation to generation. And so Isaac, the son of Abraham, or Abraham, when he was going to bless his sons and sent his son Esau to go get venison, cook him a nice meal, and to bless him, the mother, talks to his brother, Jacob. Now, that's a totally different teaching. If you remember the series on iniquities, if you've not listened to that, this would be a good place to make certain you get a hold of the series on iniquities about the second born, the law of the second born. It is manifested in this particular situation because something got into the mother and she prepares a nice meal for his son Jacob to take over to the father. And when and dressed him up just like his brother so that he could smell like his brother. And he comes to the father. And in Genesis chapter 22 and verse 16, in Genesis 22 and verse 16, we read this word and said, by myself have I sworn. God is saying something here. Say the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, this is God speaking concerning what Isaac has done, or Abraham has done, it says that in blessing I will bless thee. That in blessing, watch, in what? Blessing. I will bless you. God speaks about the blessing as a place, as a thing, as a person. He says, in blessing, I'm in the blessing, and from the place of the blessing, I'm going to bless you. And this is what the blessing is going to bring about. And in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed. I will multiply thy what? Seed. Notice he's saying seed. He didn't even say seeds. He said, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. That's plural. Did you see that? Enemies. Your seed is going to possess the gate of his enemies. Your seed. I'm speaking the blessing over you. But God said, I'm going to swear in myself. And I'm releasing this blessing unto you. This is what is going to happen in your life. In verse 28 and 29 of the same chapter, we see Isaac pronouncing the blessing. He says, and in thy seed. Now he's speaking to Jacob, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. And goes on. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt in Beersheba. The blessing has been released. The blessing continues on. The blessing is transforming a life. But the same thing is being said over and over and over again. This blessing is going to impact nations. This blessing is going to impact lives. And every person that blesses you is going to be blessed. As we see in Genesis 12, 1 through 3. And let's look at that real quickly. Genesis 12, 1, 2, 3. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of the country, from thy kindred and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And verse 3, and I'll bless them that do what? Bless you. And I'm going to curse them that do what? Curse you. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Statement of the Lord. Genesis 27 and verse 3. Genesis 27 and verse 33. Hear the word of the Lord. Isaac had transferred the blessing. Esau just showed up. He says, and Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who? Where is he that had taken venison and brought it to me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed. Period. Watch this. Next verse. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, thy brother came with subtlety and had taken away thy blessing. He's taken it away. So this is a tangible thing. It's tangible. I gave it to your brother. But what did he give to his brother? The pronouncement that God gave to Abraham. He spoke those same words into his life. And the young man says, oh my. Isn't there anything left? Isn't anything left for me? You mean the blessing that was spoken into Abraham's life? You've spoken that same blessing into my brother's life, and that's it? Yeah. And from now on, you're going to be serving him. The blessing makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. But the blessing will not make you become anything if you don't recognize it. Because this same young man, Jacob, as he flees, runs away, comes to Bethel, has an encounter with God, ends up in the house of Laban, and is in the house of Laban for decades, working and being cheated over and over until, are you ready for this? The vow that he made to God, God says, it's time for me to collect my vow. Go home, pay the vow. And he was empowered, and he breaks free And he comes, and as he's heading back, his brother that's supposed to be less than him is way greater than he is. And he's scared of his brother. And now God helps him. An angel comes, and something inside of Jacob kicks in, and he says, I got to have the blessing. You got to bless me. Well, Jacob, you have already been blessed. Just recognize it. Recognize that you have already been blessed. And he's busy fighting, wrestling with the angel, wanting to get the blessing. And the angel wrestles with him, plays with him, and says, you know what? I got to go. No, you're not going anywhere. No, I really have to go. No, you're not going anywhere. You're going to bless me. He's fighting by the works, his natural abilities. And that's many times what we do. We fight, and we fight, and we struggle to get what we already have. And the angel just touched him. And his bone slips off socket. And he is limping. And he limped for the rest of his life. For something that he already had but did not recognize. And his name was changed that day from Jacob to Israel. Are you with me? His name was changed. What we do need is that name change. Recognizing that we are not ordinary people, that God has pronounced a blessing over our lives, and that we are new creations. The old is passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That we are in the company of the Creator of the heavens and the earth. Knowing who Jesus is, knowing who the Christ is, that he is the seed, that incorruptible seed, that I'm connected to him, I'm in him. And because I am in him, his grace and his glory is resting on my life. The Bible says we sinned and fell short of the glory of God. But now that we are made righteous, the glory of God is reinstated. The glory of God is the release of the blessing of God on my life. The release of the blessing of God on your life. The glory of God is all that God is. Moses wanted the blessing of God. In fact, he said, God, I want to see your glory. And God says, you can't see my glory and live. He said, but I tell you what I'm going to do. I am going to put you in this cleft here. I'm going to walk past you, and you'll see my backside. Because if you see my face, you're going to die. Okay? So God did. And when God passed him, all we have from the book of Genesis through the five books, first five books, the Pentateuch, is downloaded into his spirit. He saw what happened in the garden, how the fall came about. He saw the history of man. Every detail was downloaded inside of him Things that he did not know about, he was able to begin to state out very clearly. This is what happened on day one. This is what happened on day two. This is what happened on day three. This is what happened on day four. This is what happened on day five. This is what happened on day six. Then God rested and began to tell the story that we all read in the book of Genesis. Moses had a download of God. And after all of this had happened, in Numbers chapter 6, we read something in verse 24. What we read is this: the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Wow. But watch this statement. And they shall put my what? Name. That's key. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will do what? Bless them. They will put my name upon the children of Israel, and then I will bless them, because he blesses his name. Oh, I don't know if you're getting this. The blessing comes upon you because you have put on Christ. You are in Christ. Because the blessing was pronounced on Abraham, and blessing was pronounced on the seed of Abraham. We talked about that this morning. The blessing is on Abraham and on the seed of Abraham, and the seed of Abraham is Christ. The Word of God tells us in Galatians. But then concludes. Let's look at Galatians 3 and 16 and also 29 and 30. Galatians 3:16. Now to Abraham and his seed, where the promise is made, he said, not unto seeds, plural, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And verse 29 says, and if ye be Christ, if ye be Christ, if any man be in Christ, if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed. But verse 16 tells us that Abraham's seed is what? Christ. And the Word of God now says to us, and if you are in Christ, you are Abraham's seed, or in essence, you are Christ. This is getting heavier by the moment. And if you are Abraham's seed, then you are also heirs according to the promise. What promise? The promise God made. I'm going to bless you and make you a blessing. And anybody that curses you is going to get cursed. Oh, wait. Wait a minute. Do you know who you're standing by? Well, I'm the father of this child. But do you know who this child is? You're a teacher. Do you know who you have in your class? I can just say anything, just a kid. I can call him any name. Do you know who you are dealing with? Because the one that you are dealing with is a representation of the Christ. And if you are not a blessing, and you choose to curse, the curse is coming back to you. It's just my child. I am just going to just push him around and shove him around and whatever else. Hold it. Well, it's just my husband, this foolish guy. Just my wife, she knows nothing. She's brain dead. Oh, really? Really? Do you know who you're talking with? Talking to? Do you remember a man and a woman, Ananias and Sapphira, they come and they're lying to Peter. And Peter doesn't say, why are you lying to me? He says, why are you lying to the Holy Spirit? Why are you lying to the Spirit of God? We think when we're dealing with people, but when a person is in Christ, and you don't know when that person is going to be in Christ, because God sees the past, present, and the future. What you see right now is what you see right now, but you don't know the whole story of that man or that woman. So don't maltreat people. Don't undermine people. Because to be in Christ means to be in a love relationship, a love connection with the Most High God. God will bless His name. He will bless the people that have the name of God on them. Are you with me so far? I do pray so. Listen to what God's word says about the people that get blessed. I've pointed out that His name has to be on you for His blessing to come upon you. But let's explore a little bit more. And let's look at Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 7. It says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. That is the man that is blessed. The person that trusts in the Lord, it says that person is blessed, and whose hope the Lord is. In other words, the Lord is my hope. It says, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. In other words, the person who trusts in the Lord will be fruitful. The person that trusts in the Lord will not concern himself about climate change. Forget that. But the next verse is key. It tells us about the person who's going to get blessed, but then tells us something. It says their heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Where did this verse come from? It jumps out from nowhere. I thought we were talking about the blessing. Now, the Bible is leading us to the point to say to us that the blessing that you and I are pursuing and desire of God to bestow upon our hearts is a blessing that comes upon pure hearts. See, you want the blessing? You want the blessing? Okay. The blessing is going to come upon you, but have a pure heart. Guess what? The blessing came on Jacob by deception. That's not a pure heart. So, what did God have to do? God had to take him to a place where he experiences deception and the pain and suffering of it, and then divorces himself from it. Are you with me? But he loved a wife who carried the deception with her, because she stole her father's gods and takes it with her. Meanwhile, God wants to change the entire family. And God is saying, no, you're not going to do that. Not here. She takes it. Laban pursues after them. And she does not volunteer that she hid anything. She says, I'm going through my women issues. And she's sitting on her gods. So Laban leaves without collecting his gods. I wonder why she's taking his father's gods. His father's gods did not bless them. Jehovah did. But when you don't connect with him, out of bitterness. You say, what was her bitterness? The fact that God shut her womb and her so-called illegitimate sister that stole her husband is busy having children and she's not. And it didn't matter that she finally gets her own. She is still bitter. And that's the one thing you and I must get rid of. Get rid of bitterness, because if you don't, bitterness will rob you of the benefits of the blessing. The blessing will make room for you. The blessing will create opportunities for you and give you the strength to step through those doors. But if you allow bitterness, even a little bit, it will sour the blessings of God in your life and bring you into a lifestyle of travail. So God calls us to repentance. When you want the blessing to operate in your life, you must come before God and say, God, you know me. You know me inside and out. And Lord, whatever it is that will cause the blessing not to be a blessing in my life, eradicate it from my life. Extinguish it. Take it out so that the blessing can abide and be a blessing to me. Hallelujah. It says, the Lord searched their heart. I tried the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. As a partridge sitteth on eggs and hasheth them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool. If you are operating in the benefits of the blessing, meaning that God is saying you don't have it by right, you're going to end up leaving it. It will leave you, because the blessing will not abide in the place of wickedness. Period. Let me leave that. In Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3, we read these words. Jeremiah 33 and 3. God says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Call on me, I'm going to answer you, and I'm going to show you things that you know nothing about. Now that's an interesting point to hold on to, because this is part of the benefit of the blessing. You call me, and I'll show you, I'll answer you, and I'm going to show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Come with me to Psalm 1. Actually, let me go to Psalm 68 and verse 19 first. Psalm 68 and 19. It says, blessed be the Lord who does what? Daily loaded us with what? Benefits. So God is in the knack of loading us with benefits every day. Even the God of our salvation, Selah, God loads us with benefits. Now, the next verse is an interesting verse because it says, he that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto God the Lord belong the issues from death. Now, strange verse. We just talked about God loading us with benefits. Guess what he's saying? Job knew this thing. When people die, are you listening? When people die, there are benefits and graces that were given to them to live out their lives. And God says, I will pass it on. These are the issues from death. I will pass it on to you. People are fighting for their father's will, their mother's will, their uncle's will, because they want this house and these cars and this furniture. Guess what? That furniture will age. The house will fall apart. The car will rust. But the blessing stays on. What you really want is the blessing, not the stuff. Stuff fade away. The blessing makes new stuff happen. Somebody listening? The blessing is what you want. But the blessing that you want has to be a blessing that abides with you. The blessing has to abide, and it will not abide with bitterness. Back to Jacob's wife. Jacob said to Laban, when he came looking, he says, I don't have any of your stuff here. You've been mean to me. I'm off of your canopy now. I'm not under your tent. I'm going home. Now, if you find your stuff here, let the person that you find it with die. I preached a message the day Jacob killed his wife. Let the person who took your stuff die. And even though she was sitting on it, and Laban didn't see it, when it was time for her to give birth to the son called Benjamin, she died. Because the blessing will not stay with bitterness. The blessing will not settle. The Holy Spirit is the agent of the release of the blessing in our lives today, and he's signified and represented by a dove. And guess what? A dove will not stay where strife is. If there's turbulence, a dove will fly off. A pigeon will hang around. A dove will leave. Any little nonsense in the force, dove is gone. Long time. The Holy Spirit will rest and abide if we allow the love of God to be resident in our hearts. And so what does the devil want to do? When the blessing is coming, the devil wants to create an atmosphere of confusion, wants to cause brothers to begin to fight against each other, sisters fighting against each other, friends turning against each other. But the Word of God tells us, he says this, he says the blessing, when you embrace it, will cause your enemies to flee from you. You got to have the seed of the blessing. Are we getting the point? Praise the Lord. Let me wrap up for this evening. By reading to us from Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 22, Psalm 67 and verse 7, but Proverbs 10 and 22 first. It says, the blessing of the Lord, eat the blessing, make it rich. The blessing of the Lord produces riches. And he added no sorrow with it. That means that you can be blessed, you can be wealthy, you can be rich, and not be sorrowful. Because the blessing is about the goodness of God in your life. Now, the qualifier, even though I've not talked about that much today, this evening I'll be talking about that in the days to come, is that you recognize that you are in Christ. And John is going to tell us a great deal about what that means in real terms, being in Christ. Paul is going to tell us some more about what that means, being in Christ. But I can assure you that being in Christ means that you are in God's side and not cooperating with the devil and his agenda of deception, of confusion, of strife. So the Word of God says, a man of God must not be in strife. You want to be in the blessing? Don't be baited. Let me say that again. If you want to be in the blessing, don't be baited. Don't bite. When strife and anything that will cause you to be bitter comes in your path, love it away. When somebody's cursing you, the Word of God says, bless them that curse you. Is that what the Word of God says? Bless them that despitefully use you. Oh, you must be a fool. That's what the system of the world says. You must be a fool for blessing somebody that's trying to curse you and somebody who's despitefully using you. You must be a fool. No, God says, understand, I am the blessing. And in the blessing, I'm going to bless you because you have my name on you. The Lord who said there's a shaking coming up says he's also going to mark all of his children. In the book of Revelation, it says God is going to put a mark and he's going to give you a name, a secret name that nobody else knows, because that is the connecting point for the release of the blessing that nobody understands, the kind of blessing that causes a Jacob to sow in the time of famine, Isaac, to sow in the time of famine, and had a major crop. Yeah? And was moved forward, and he became very great. The famine did not change. The drought did not change. The situation of the economy did not change. But he was getting blessed. Why? He stepped out and trusted in God. God had to flush him out. Because as long as he was living a lie, God could not bless him. But God promised him, stay in this land. I'm going to bless you here. But he stayed there and was there for a long time and was receiving the same harvest like everybody else, struggling like everybody else, until the king saw him necking with his wife that he said was his sister. And when he confessed, no, it's not my sister, it's really my wife, the Bible says, then Isaac sowed. Then Isaac sowed. Then Isaac sowed. Because God is not going to bless a lie. And when he got blessed, he became so strong that the people were scared of him. That blessing is still available. Hallelujah. In Psalm 67 and verse 7, God shall bless us and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Praise the Lord. God shall do what? Bless us. And all the ends of the earth shall fear him because of the blessing. My last verse this evening, 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 22. 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 22. I hinted on this earlier. On September the 5th of 1976, that's 46 years ago, I obeyed the call of the Lord to ministry. Amen. Praise the Lord. Question. Was that when I became a man of God? September 6th. God spoke to Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 1, he says, I knew you before you were born. And I called and ordained you, anointed you to be my prophet to the nations. Before you were born, that means before your mama and your papa ever met, and even before they were born, I already knew you. So I was a prophet of God before I was ever born. God helped the person that was maltreating me when I was a little kid. God's word says, and let me state this and I go back to the First Chronicles. It says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I separated you. I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. To be what? To be the blessing of the Lord. And so I don't want you saying, oh God, I'm just a child. Don't say that, because you're not. I have chosen you. Now, wrapping up with the passage of scripture I mentioned, 1 Chronicles 16:22. Word of God says, touch not mine what? Anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Why? Because my prophet, my anointed one, I've already pronounced a blessing over them, and anyone that blesses them gets blessed. Anyone that curses them gets cursed. You get that? So all you, God says for you to do is this, bless and what? Curse not, so that you can inherit the promise. So when you're being tempted to start swearing, cursing at somebody, shut your mouth and just say, I bless you. You may not have meant it when you said it, but say that, please. I'm learning to grow on that. Somebody's doing something really crazy, calling names, saying wild stuff. I just say, bless you. The Bible says, when you bless and they don't receive it, the blessing will come back to you. So that's a way for you to feed on the blessing, filling you to the overflow. Learn how to say, I bless you. I bless you. I bless you. I bless you. Hallelujah. I am blessed and highly favored. And I bless you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Somebody is asking, how are you doing? I'm blessed and highly favored. And I bless you. Oh, okay. Are you a priest? Forget that. The word of God says, I'm a royal priesthood, a peculiar person, chosen of God. I have been authorized to speak the blessing so that I can keep on blessed, getting blessed. Is that what the word of God says? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Do you receive the word of the Lord? Yes. Amen. Well, we'll stop there today. And we're still laying the foundations on what the blessing is. And then we're going to just hit it. Bang, bullseye. And then you know that you know that you know. I'm a blessing walking day in, day out. Blessed in my going out, I'm blessed in my coming in. Amen? It's like this. It's like race car spelled forwards and backwards. You know what it spells? Race car. Forwards, backwards. It still spells the same thing. Race car. Blessed in my going out, blessed in my coming in. There's not a time that I'm not blessed because I am in Christ. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Amen. Praise God. Father, we are thankful for the benefit of your word. Now, Lord, help us to live out this walk of faith and live out a life that demonstrates the truth of your word in a way that magnifies your glorious name. Thank you, Father, that your blessing is abiding and that the choices that we make on a daily basis is a choice to walk in the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. Help us, O God, to make the right decisions, think the right thoughts, execute the right words by the actions of faith through love. For we are in Christ Jesus. Let the blessing flow without stopping. Give us the opportunity to touch our world. In Jesus' mighty name, we decree it so. Amen. Well, if you're here and you're here and you've heard the word of God, then I know that in hearing the word of God, if you take the word of God that's been sent in your direction tonight and just believe it, that whatever need is in your life that's already been addressed. We thank God for the grace to lay hands on people and pray with them and for them. But the greater way is to believe what the Lord made very clear and certain in my spirit many decades ago when I was ministering in India. He said to me in the crusade ground, as I wanted to pray for the sick, he said, "I don't need your prayers." He said, "It's testimony time." I said, "But Lord, I've not prayed for the sick yet." He said, "I don't need it." I said, "But that's what I'm used to. You finish ministering, you pray for the sick and so that they receive their miracle." He said, "I don't need it." I said, "What am I supposed to do now?" He said, "As I told you, testimony time. Didn't I say in my word, I sent my word, and I healed and I delivered them from their destructions?" I said, "Yeah, okay, testimony time." Amen. I learned that day, wow, that is powerful. God is going to do the miracles, and sure enough, he did. And then he brought me to the place when I stepped into the grounds, just coming, even before I said any word, I said, "God is already healing you. God is already delivering you." And I said to the Lord, when he said for me to say that, I said, "How is that possible?" He said, "When the light comes on, where does the darkness go?" I said, "Oh, yeah." He said, "You're light, aren't you?" I said, "Yeah, I am." "So you came in, darkness got to go. Is sickness darkness?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Okay, believe me for that. And according to your faith, it is so done." Amen? When you receive the word of God, receive the full impact. I am blessed, and I'm a blessing. Sickness and disease cannot abide here. Amen? My mind is clear. Demonic forces can no longer harass me. I receive Jesus Christ as my sovereign Lord and Savior. So before we leave today, is there anyone here who wants to say, "Lord, I want to turn my life over to you. Be my Lord and my Savior"? If there's anyone like that, just raise your hand and I'll certainly pray with you before you leave tonight and just declare the wisdom of God into your life. Just raise your hand if there's anybody like that. Okay, I see no hands. So I choose to believe that everyone here has given their lives to the Lord and have received the word of God, and Jesus is your Redeemer, Savior, and Lord. Amen. Praise God. Let us honor God with our giving. And this Thursday, if you want to participate in the crusade that we're going to be having, that crusade is going to be happening in the morning hours here. When we do meetings in the nation of Pakistan, we generally meet around 9:30, that's when we do the service from here. If you want to participate and come, you know, to participate with us in that particular day, you're welcome. When you come, come prayerfully, ready to pray for those people. As we do this crusade, it's going to be touching thousands of lives. The area that of Pakistan that the meetings are going to be taking place, all around it is flooded, but that particular community is not flooded. God separated it. Amen? So we're expecting God to do something. I'm believing God for the right word for that nation. This is the first major mass crusade that we're going to be doing in that nation, even though we've been doing smaller crusades every month in the nation and doing conferences for pastors. This is going to be the first big crusade, expecting anywhere from 15,000 to 30,000 people to come out for the crusade, trusting God for miracles. Amen? Hallelujah. He will do it for them. And thank you so very much for giving towards the Bibles. I didn't get the last figures for this evening, from this morning. Today, I didn't get the figures today, but I will boldly say that we accomplished our goal of $10,000 plus. Amen? I say that. And it is so. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise God. So may the Lord bless everyone that's given towards this project and continue to increase you and promote you and cause you to be a blessing because you're standing in the blessing. Amen? Praise the Lord. You have a great night. Enjoy the goodness of the Lord. And I'll see you next Friday, or Thursday, first of all, and then on Friday. God bless. And good night.